Well, I think the starting point has to be when I arrived in South Sudan, people told me, well, South Sudan sees flooding every rainy season. It's very important to emphasize that what has happened in Unity State this year is not a normal flood. When you talk to local people, they will tell you that they haven't seen floods like this since 1964. 85% of Unity State is currently underwater, with 95% of the population affected. The specific situation of the road, indeed, the road was cut off because of the water, because one of the dikes had broken. IOM had been working on closing the dike in close coordination with UNMISS, and the road is now, first the dike needed to be repaired, then the water needed to be pumped out. Luckily, and thanks to UNMISS, we were able to work through the night to pump the water out, and now the road is passable again, and we're confident that the airstrip will be open soon as well. But it highlights one particular problem, which is that we are building, together with the state authorities, together with UNMISS, we're building emergency dikes to protect as much dry land as we can, but those dikes, they breach all the time. So it's not just a matter of building the dikes, but it's continuous firefighting to make sure that the dikes are repaired as soon as they break.
Right, continuous firefighting it is. Like you said, it is not a normal flood. I mean, the river now reportedly burst its banks, right? I mean, this is a natural disaster. What do you think should be done and can be done?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, I think first, you're very right. It's the River Nile that was overflowing. It was overflowing partly because of the rain in Unity State earlier, but also because of the rains more upstream. So it's not something that is just coming from the rain in Unity State. One of the reasons why the Nile was unable to absorb the water is because due to the conflict, the river, but also the branches of the Nile, have not been maintained. Which means what? Which means that you have a lot of plants that are preventing the water from flowing, and therefore the water is literally looking for the easiest way to continue to move. In terms of what needs to be done, there's very short-term, immediate things, medium-term and longer-term. And I think when you look at the short term, obviously the priority is, on the one hand, continuously saving as much dry land as possible. Secondly, also making sure that the affected population, and I have to emphasize, is 95% of the population in Unity State has been affected by the floods one way or another, that those people have access to humanitarian assistance. It's the IDPs, the people that were displaced by the flooding, but ironically, in a way, they're easier to reach because they're in Rupkoma and Bentiu town or around that, but also the populations that are stuck in their villages, and these are the ones that are most difficult to reach. So that is obviously the very short-term and ongoing priority. Medium-term, we have to start thinking about the next rainy season. Because when I listen to my technical people and the technical people from the state authorities and from UNMISS, the dikes that we build now as an emergency measure, if we don't reinforce those, they will all be broken when the rain starts. So we need to start working on that now, and not we cannot wait for the next rainy season to avoid that this turns into a bigger catastrophe. Longer term, I think it really shows, and that's not doesn't just go for Unity State. It shows, first of all, that South Sudan is deeply affected by climate change. We had the big meeting in Glasgow a few weeks ago. Well, as I was saying to my colleagues at headquarters, if you want to see an example of a country that is adversely affected by climate change, South Sudan is one of them. So that means what? That means that we need to start investing more in overall water management, early warning systems, maintenance of the rivers, but also integrating climate change and the likely impact into all the planning that is being done. I'll give a very concrete example. If you're going to plan an urban settlement, or if you're going to build a new road, you have to integrate, is that area going to be prone to flooding? Is it wise to build a community next to a place that is continuously going to be flooded? If you build the road, is the road going to be washed away when the floods come? Is it going to be a hindrance of the natural flow of the water? So this, the whole thinking of planning needs to integrate these effects of climate change and especially the issues related to water management. And I think that's really something that IOM and others are ready to support the authorities in, but it really needs to be a priority to avoid that each year we have this type of situation that we're seeing today in United States.
Right, and you're saying that that road that links the Rope Corner to the UN base has now been cleared. How many more have you tried to clear?
Well, I mean, it's an ongoing battle. I mean, I think that each road around Bintu and Rope Corner at some point has been flooded. So it's been an ongoing struggle. One of the priorities for us also has been is to protect the IDP camp. Remember, we still have an IDP camp in Bintu where there's 110,000 people living. Now, one of our biggest fears, and the fears of UNMISS and the colleagues from WFP and others, was that if the camp floods, there is no plan B. There is no place for these people to go. So in the past couple of days, we've been building a 400-meter dike at the southern gate of the camp to avoid that the camp itself is flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, also not to forget, you were asking me what needs to be done. In the meantime, while we're battling the impact of the floods, we also need to make sure that the people in the IDP Bintu camp have access to basic services. You've seen that there's been some issues related to hepatitis E outbreak, which in itself is related to a lack of investment in water and sanitation facilities over the last 2 years. So we also have to think about what impact. Everyone says we would like people from the IDP Bintu camp to go back home. Well, now that the floods have taken away so much dry land, what will the impact on that be? How long will people have to stay there?
Mm-hmm.
Also, how long will the people that have been displaced by the floods, who are now in five different locations, how long will they have to stay in those places? Will they be able to go back home before the rainy season?
Mm.
Doesn't look like it. So we also have to think about that. How are we going to provide support to all of those people in an environment, and that's really important to emphasize, where humanitarian funding for South Sudan is shrinking? So that's something that we need to integrate into the planning, and this is now ongoing together with the state authorities and with, of course, the colleagues of the UN and the NGO sector to see how can we best make sure that those people's humanitarian situation doesn't deteriorate further.
Yeah, speaking about humanitarian situation, you spoke about 95% being affected, and those who are worse off are those who are trapped in their villages. So what are the most immediate needs of the population there?
Well, for some of the population, the most immediate need is access to food, and the colleagues of WFP luckily have the type of vehicles that allow them access to remote areas, so they have been stepping up the food delivery where they can. The second priority is access to health. We have mobile health teams as IOM who have been trying to reach, sometimes together with WFP, remote communities to make sure that people have access to basic health care. And then, of course, the third is making sure that people have decent shelter, including wash and sanitation facilities in the places where they are now displaced. That's obviously very important as well. In the slightly longer term, we have to also give people the means to sustain themselves. And we are looking now at, or we have provided people with canoes and fishing nets so that they can actually get their own food. So that's also important that in the medium term, people actually have some sort of ways of sustaining themselves, because, of course, a lot of people have lost their livelihood because of the floods.
Right, right. Speaking about losing livelihoods, we also heard that animals have been lost because there's no, I mean, they've died probably from hunger because of no grazing land. How is it?
Yes, we have seen along the roadside, for example, there is the road that is passing by the UNMISS base going in the direction of Khartoum. We've seen a number of cattle that have died. Cattle that have died, lack of food is certainly one element in that. So again, that also adversely affects people's livelihood opportunities, of course.
Yeah. Now, with all that is going on, how would you describe the humanitarian situation there?
Well, I mean, I think the humanitarian situation is fairly dire for a lot of the population. I think in the IDP camp in Bintu, I think situation is improving. I think also in the camps, the flood-related five camps or sites that we have now, the situation is slowly improving, but there are still a lot of humanitarian needs that are not met.
Mm.
I want to say one thing, though, on this assistance provision to the flood-affected victims. You know, in South Sudan, often people criticize the authorities for not doing enough. Now, I think in Unity State, what was really important was that the state authorities were amongst the first to respond. And this is exactly the way it should be. In that sense, it was a positive element amongst the disaster situation, where the authorities are the first ones to respond, and then humanitarian actors come to fill the gaps that the state authorities cannot do. And I think the collaboration between the state authorities and UN agencies like IOM, UNMIS, WFP and others has really been exemplary. So in that sense, if we want to take something good away from this, that is something definitely to highlight. And I hope that that will continue also for the medium term and longer term work that needs to be done.
Right.